think about this amazing God. I remember talking to my dad when he was, he got saved. He said, "I'm old. I've been bad. I've been bad all my life. You sure about this stuff? You sure about being saved?" I tell him a parable about the laborers in the field. I said, "There, some came real late, and they still got paid the same because He's an amazing God, and He never fails in being amazing." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you for your efforts, and you guys continue to sing. Just continue to sing praises to His holy name.
Amen.
God desires our praises. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. I'll be humming that later on today. Amazing. Amen. And let's look at 1 Peter. It's this amazing book of 1 Peter. It's chapter 3. It's an amazing book, isn't it? It's an amazing book. And, you know, we had an amazing time in Sunday school. You guys that don't come to Sunday school, you guys missing some great learning, teaching God's word. Amen. The cost. I want to talk about the cost. See if you can see it in the verse. See if you can see it in the verse. I read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to talk about the cost. About the cost. Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Amen. Let's all stand if we can for reverence of God's holy word. Amen. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Precious Lord, thank you. Father God, sanctify the hearts of your people. Give them a ready answer. Father God, keep them ready so they can give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you find, that the dying world will find in us. And let us do it in meekness and in fear, in power under control. Let us also do it with a good conscience, that we can back up what we say with a life that glorifies you. Father God, give us glorifying grace. Give us that grace, Father God, that gives us the strength and the ability and the desire to want to glorify you in all we eat, in all we drink, in all we do. Let us do it to the glory of God. We pray these names in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was looking at our text last week, and I was preaching through it, and I get stuck. Y'all know me. Y'all know I get stuck. And I stay there, and I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about this verse. This is one of the ones when you preach through a book, you circle certain verses because you know you're gonna get to them. And when you get to them, some of them excite you. And I've been excited for all 2040s these sermons. But here's one. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We covered that last week. We covered it. Have an answer in your heart and give them a reason to hope. The lost world need a reason to hope. They ought to see that reason in us. They ought to see that reason in us. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so therefore shine so men might see. I think what it says, might see the glory of God. When folks are looking for the glory of God, they ought not have to look any further than their co-worker who says, I'm born again, I'm a Christian. To their neighbor. I just need to see the glory of God. And they ought to be able to look at their neighbor who has a fish on the back of their car, had a clergy on their license plate. We are identified by that. But this part got me here, verse number 16. It says, having a good conscience. And when I read that, I just kind of got stuck, because I believe we tell folks about the wonderful things of Jesus. And He's a wonderful God. And we tell them, and I've been to so many funerals, and this is one verse you hear all the time, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Isn't that beautiful? That is a beautiful verse for the believer. That's a beautiful verse for the man or woman that knows the Lord as their Savior and Lord. Let me give you another one. Beautiful verses. These are beautiful. And we are right to tell folks about this. But we can't forget to tell them about the cross. Amen. You know, my family, Cindy's family, my in-law, they all going to Hawaii. I told the Sunday school class, Cindy went in there, so I'll be telling her business. And they all going to Hawaii, you know. And they said, Cindy, you and your husband go. It's only like $5,000, you know, a piece. You know, and I know Hawaii is a wonderful place, but there's a cost. Heaven's a wonderful place, but there's a cost. Look at Revelation 21:4. Here's one that you hear a lot. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Ain't that beautiful? That's a beautiful verse. For the believer. For the man or woman of God that has a personal relationship with the Lord, that understands what it costs to get to heaven. Let me read one more. Because I know these are beautiful. These are touching, folks. You know, you ever do nursing home ministry, read these. Folks in nursing home, they love to hear these kind of verses. They love to hear us sing, folks. So we have this hope, we have this love. We know we got a merciful God, and it gets better when this one's over. Okay? We don't teach that, because we think we live in our best life now. No, we not. We live in our worst life now. I can write a book on that. I don't know if it'll sell as many as Joel's did. Live your worst life now. The best life will be coming up. Oh my goodness, look at this one here. I don't even got to give you scripture. You know this one's by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that beautiful? To the believer, to the man and woman of God who truly knows Him as his shepherd, she truly knows Him as his Lord and Savior. You know, the question was asked a man. They asked a man, they said, well, how long have you been a Christian? And they said, well, I've been a Christian on and off for about 40 years. Ain't that how the church is? Well, I've been on and off for about 40 years. Well, what happened if you leave here off? And I think about this verse, and when I look at verse number 16, I just put, don't forget to tell about the cost. God gives us the ability, He gives us the power to live out the Christian life. But He doesn't give us this power for nothing. When you say, we learned this in Sunday school, and I was thinking about it, the Sunday school lesson in 1 Peter sort of parallel. Look what it says, and I gave you guys the wrong verse in Sunday school. God forgive me. I said John 5:12. It was 1:12. But God gives us power to live the Christian life. Tell folks this. This is how you evangelize your lost ones, loved ones, friends, family members. God's gonna give you some power, because they're gonna sit here and say, I can't do that. Well, God's gonna give you power. When you get the new heart, you get new power. Okay? Make sure you got the new heart. See, we want power. We want to power up the old heart. And we power up the old heart. That just make us a tenfold devil than we are. We don't want to power up the old heart. We want to get a new heart. And then we want to power that new heart up with the things of God. Yeah. Folks, we got a new heart. Desire the things of God. Look at John 1:12. He says, but as many as received Him, tell them about the cause. He, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Okay? So when God calls you, He empowers you to do the things that you know the Word of God says you're to do.
Amen.
Look at Abram. In Genesis, God called Abram. He said to Abram, He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now you can't believe that on your own. You need the power of God in your life to believe that. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And what did Abram do? He departs. He leaves. See, one of the things God may call you to do, leave. Leave some stuff. Now, y'all have heard me talk about, you know, my love for golf, and I had the Tiger Woods hats and shoes and outfits on, and I thought I was clean. I hit the ball a long way, too. And God called me out of that. I was like, wow, that's interesting, God. And these kind of verses came to my mind. Because God's going to call you to leave some stuff.
Amen.
If God called you.
Amen.
Now, if you've called yourself, you just stay where you at. Do your own thing. Because you know what? You know, you'll tell people, well, I decided to get my life together. Or I decided to change. Or, you know, I got saved. You know, you didn't. God saved you.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved. Through faith. See, a lot of us have decided that we're just going to, I think I'm going to start going to church. Well, that's not the ticket. Look at Hebrews 11:24. You don't have to turn, I'm just going to read them all. Because I want to talk about this power you get. Because when God calls you, he's going to call you to do something supernatural. He's not going to call you to do nothing that you can do on your own power. Okay? Jake and Sharon put together the Sunday school banquet is not supernatural. Okay? We can work that out. Both of them know how to do things. Look at Hebrews 11:24. See, this is where it takes power. Some of you are dealing with it right now. You know, I need to get away from this. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop going here. I need to stop doing this. Look at Moses. Great example. It says in 11:24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen to you, son. That was a big decision. That cost him something. He was in the money. He was Pharaoh's daughter. He was rich. Moses walked away from him. You know, I get so upset sometimes when I hear say folks, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's too much. I don't think I got that what it takes. Let me tell you something. You're right there. You are right where God wants you to be. You are right where God wants you to be. Because God is not going to call you to do nothing you can do on your own. He ain't got to call you to do what you got strength to do yourself. He's going to call you to do something that you will know that it was only God. Like I say, Cindy and I, we didn't get lessons in this. Okay? When I told Seth that, I believe God's calling me to preach. We didn't take no classes on that. I said, what you think? She said, well, just pray. Pray about it. Make sure. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But God's not going to call you to do something normal. Look at Mary. I love Mary. I think I love everybody named Mary. It's one of my favorite things in the Bible. Mary and Paul. Look at Mary in Luke 1. Now God's getting ready to call Mary to do something crazy. And you're not going to hear Mary say, well, I'm not qualified, I'm not skilled, I don't have experience, I can't talk in front of people. No. Mary. In Luke 1:38, I thought I had wrote it down, I got to find it now. Y'all bear with me, 1:38, I'll find it quick. 1:38, here's Mary. Here's Mary, and the angel's coming to Mary. The angel's coming to Mary in Luke 1:28. Now Mary's ready. Now I'm not sitting here. If you're not ready, if you know you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you know you don't care about the things of God, now you can rest assured God ain't going to call you to do nothing. Okay? Now if that's your excuse, then you're fine. Okay? If your excuse is, I don't care about no Bible, I don't care, I just come to church. Don't care about nothing else. Then you don't want to work. God ain't going to tap you on the shoulder and say, I need you to do something. Okay? Watch this now. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. How did Mary get highly favored? She knew that word. She knew God's word, and she knew that there's gonna come a time, and that time was real close, that God was gonna give birth to his son. I said it right. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, is going to give birth through a virgin. That's what Isaiah 40 said. Mary knew the word. Look what it says. 28. And it says, the Lord is with thee. Did the angel say that about any of us in here? I mean, these are serious questions. If the Lord came in here and was looking for somebody, he's like, the Lord's with you. He says, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now Mary's sitting here like, listen, like, okay. I understand all that. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the holy thing, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God call you, God will empower you. Don't worry about where your power is going to come from. Make sure you are in the will of God. Make sure you are in the will of God. Because God will give you power to enable you to do what He wants you to do. He'll give you power to be patient. I know somebody don't like that word, being patient. But He'll give you power just to hang in there and wait on Him. And wait on Him. Move right along. I like this one. He'll give you power to witness. I think we need that. You look at the church today. And what's happening in our church is no different than all the churches throughout the valley. And I can only speak for throughout the valley. I've talked to a lot of folks. And the churches are thin. And now, whose fault is that? Somebody said the preachers. Preachers of L.A. Blame it on them. But if you are a child of God, you're gonna witness. You don't have a choice. Because you know what God has done for you, and you want to see it done for someone else. And I believe the problem, again, somebody may be right. It is the preacher. The preacher's job is to feed the people. The preacher's job is to make sure his people are fed. That they can go out and tell somebody something. But look at Acts 10. Look at Acts 10. It's talking about the disciples. I thought this was interesting. They're out. And they're looking for folks to tell the good news to. That's 10:44. And it says, while Peter yet spake these words. He's out preaching. He wants to make sure everybody he talked to knows the Lord. Now he's talking to unsaved Gentile folks now. He says, and the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now he wasn't just talking mumble jumble. He wasn't just talking junk. He was telling them the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins, rose from the grave, and is now sitting at the right hand of God. He's telling them that he came to die for the sins of the world, that you may be restored, that you may be forgiven, that you will have a place in the kingdom. He's explaining the gospel to them. That's what that word says. And they heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished. Jews. Still in the Judaism. Look what they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now y'all watch this. Now you watch this, because there's a big tongues movement going on in this world. Everybody's speaking in tongues, and I know some of y'all in here that spoke in tongues. Okay? Listen, get some understanding. For they heard them speak with tongues. They heard them. They understood that they were speaking a normal, natural language. I sat there and talked to my favorite teenage member yesterday, Kaylin. And she's talking to me. Her and her sister, I forgot her sister's name. They're talking to me. They're taking Spanish classes. And they're talking to me. They come to my office and they just harass me. And they talk to me and I'm taking Spanish. I'm taking Spanish 1. I'm taking Spanish 2. They're learning a language. A valuable one. Because our country is being filled with Hispanics and Spanish people speaking people, and it's a valuable tool. I think there's going to come a time when everybody's going to have to learn Spanish. And they're not going to keep putting two signs up at McDonald's. One of them going to leave. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's right, with tongues. They heard them speak with tongues. And what did they say? They didn't. He didn't stop there, folks. Listen to me. Listen, when somebody speaks in a tongue, somebody needs to understand what they're saying. Okay? What's the use? Now, what did they say? Here's what they said in a tongue, because they heard what Paul, what the disciples was saying to them. They were disciples taught them that Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, died on the cross, was risen from the grave for the sins of the world. And now they heard the gospel. What did they do? What did they speak in their tongues? Listen, here it goes. And they magnified God. They didn't just start mumbling some stuff out and running around in circles.
Amen.
They magnified the Lord. How do we magnify the Lord? We thank Him for His goodness, and we thank Him for His grace, and we thank Him for His mercy, because they knew if God hadn't come and died for their sins, they would die in their sins. So they magnified the Lord. And we ought to magnify the Lord. We ought to magnify the Lord, because we, if we're saved and we have this new heart and we've been born again, we have the power in us to witness for Christ. We have the power in us to witness for Christ. And I guess their question is, witnessing for Christ. And a lot of our witnessing is done without talking. This is what a Texan said with a good conscience. Because you ain't know you talk about something, you're not backing up. Ain't no use me talking to y'all about loving your wives. If mine sit back there, I don't even know if I should say that anymore. Unhappy. Put it like that, I ain't gonna say it with a black eye. I don't want somebody to, yeah, put me on Facebook. Talk about the cause. Jesus always talked about the cause. He always talked about the cause. Let's talk about this. Let's look at Luke 9. I think this is interesting. Luke 9, because I could go to so many scriptures where Jesus always talked about the cause. He always talked about the cause. There's no use witnessing to no one if you just go tell them, oh, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd, I should have won. I mean, that's great. Those are great scriptures. He prepared a mansion for you. Your loved one has got a mansion now. That's wonderful stuff. It is true. And if you walk away from that person and you trick them, you don't have a good conscience. You ever talk to somebody and you said the wrong thing? Or you say, I'm going to pray for you, and don't pray? I'm as guilty as anybody, honestly. I pray about it. I'm going to be praying for you. Okay, Rita called me this morning. She said she's not going to be able to make it. And I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to call you later now. If it gets around 9 to 10 o'clock and I have it, my conscience is troubled. Because I've told someone something I didn't do.
Amen.
But if we tell folks the half the story, okay, I want to know about this Jesus. Well, you know what? Just accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Join the church. You're on your way to heaven. That's really what folks are learning today. That's not. Listen at Jesus in Luke 9:27. He says, he's on the move. He's on the way to Jerusalem now. Now, I could use the rich young ruler. I could use a whole lot of illustrations. But here's Luke 9:27. Because here we find really three things that are involved in being a Christian, being a disciple: sacrifice, suffering, and leaving that world of ease. And there's more. There's more. But watch this. You maybe pick some different ones out. And it came to pass that as they went in the way is to Jerusalem, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. Fly. And Jesus said unto him, this is just to scare him off and see if he's for real. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Are you talking about Jesus? Well, you living in that cushy life. And if you're going to follow me, it's going to cause some trouble. It's going to cause some pain. How many know about this? You're not going to be comfortable. See, being a Christian isn't the comfortable life. And Jesus talking to another, and he's saying it to another. Follow me. Now, Jesus is after this one. But he said, Lord, suffer me to first go bury my father. Some people think Jesus is cruel here. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He said, what's more important? You sticking around your father's house, because in this text, the father wasn't dead yet. Jewish culture, if the father was dead, they're going to bury him the next day. The father's still alive. Well, he said, I'm going to stick around and get my inheritance. I'm going to wait on it. Wait on it. He said, that's kind of important. And that's the same message to the rich young ruler. I watch a lot of folks, and they just run and flock these funerals. Folks don't know the Lord. They just, everybody got to be there. Everybody got to be there. And they rush to get in the pulpit. And they sit, all the preachers, they be sitting, they be fighting to get a good seat. You know. I just wonder about that in light of this scripture. Let the dead bury the dead. We got business to do, church. We got business to do. We got work to do. And another said unto the Lord, I'll follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And what Jesus is saying to him, what's the message? What's the message? Sacrifice, servanthood, suffering, world popularity and persecution. You're going to get all that being a Christian. Somebody tell them about the cost. Tell them about the cost. When you tell somebody about Jesus, tell them what it costs. That's a hard message. Because some folks are like, you know, right now it's really not costing me a whole lot. What's costing me? Because I have to sit up here and preach it. This is a costly message. Matthew 7:13. Jesus telling them the cost. He says, it's a narrow road. He said, enter in the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because the straight gate in the narrow way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. It's a hard way. It's a press way. It's a hard way. It's a press way. How you guys doing? Tell them about the cost. Sylvia, tell them about the cost. Tell your loved ones about the cost. It's not free. Salvation is, but serving God is free. Why you need to tell them? Why you need to tell us about that? You tell us about the power. You tell us about what's going to cost. Because you're getting ready to get into something. You get ready to get into something. You get ready to get into something. You get ready to deal with Satan. And we don't like to talk about Satan. But you get ready to deal with Satan. How many know that? How many, everybody here believe in Satan? I'm not talking about Flip Wilson Satan. The devil made me do it, the devil made me do it. I'm talking about a real one that's going to hurt you. That will try to hurt you. That will bound you. That will choke you. That will attack you in a variety of ways. What are you talking about, preacher? It's supposed to be easy. This is we living our best life. No, you're not. You're not. You're living your worst life now. And Satan is serious about stopping you. Look at 2 Corinthians. Here's Paul. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was God's man for the hour. He was about his business, Paul was, but it says this. It says, here's Paul. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, Paul was getting it. God was blessing Paul and working in Paul's life. Paul was planting churches and whole cities were being revived and turned over and folks were being saved under Paul's ministry. And what did Satan do? He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Listen, some of the stuff you're dealing with ain't going away. You're going to deal with that until you go into the ground. You're going to deal with some stuff. See, so we want perfect health, perfect finances, perfect children, perfect parents, perfect everything. That's how we is in America. It's America. You can have it all. Some of the stuff you're dealing with in here, you're going to deal with. The whole idea, you're going to fight with it. Don't let it overcome you. Stay battling with it. Some of us in here struggle with different things. I'm not going to even start naming stuff. But I know this pastor struggles with some things. You know what? And I believe God has allowed Satan to put some stuff into the man of God's life or the woman of God's life just to keep him humble. Amen? Satan will put something on you. Listen. Luke 13:16. He says, and ought not this woman. Now watch this now. I want y'all to pay attention to the scripture. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Being a daughter of Abraham. This was a child of God. For some folks say, well, a child of God can't struggle, can't go through. That's a lie from the pits of hell. This woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan have bound, lo, these 18 years. Satan put it on you. And God will allow it. God will allow it. This is why you need the power. This is why we need to tell folks the truth. Because you can come to the Lord and be put out of the will. Maybe you might wonder if you got an atheist family and you accept Christ. How that's going to work for you? What if you're a Muslim? Receive Christ. How about a Catholic? Don't go real well. You're a Catholic. You accept Christ. Don't go real well before you do it around all your Catholic friends and family. Oh, you got to come to the Mass. I don't believe in the Mass no more. I'm a Christian. Oh, you got to come to little Johnny's being consecrated or whatever. First communion for little Johnny. Really? I gotta go. That's the pain.
Amen.
That's for me. I struggle with this too. Mm-hmm. Get ready to rumble. I love Ephesians. Y'all know I do. But look at Ephesians 6:10. And I'm just going to read some of this because right here it tells you some of the things you're going to battle with. You're going to battle. You're in the fight for your life. Till you get out of here.
Amen.
Glory to God. Ray come off this morning. Good morning. I said, what's so good about it, Ray? Ray like, oh, you just don't stop. I can hear him under his breath. Ray be like, you just don't quit, do you? I just said good morning, dude. He didn't say all this, but he's walking away. I can hear him. Me and Ray be going through. Ray said, good morning, Dad. I said, what's so good about it? I woke up. I said, one of you don't wake up. Is that going to be a good morning? See, and that's a good question. Is it going to be a good morning, Elmer, when you don't wake up? Oh, and that kind of your co-worker saying, good morning, Elmer. What's so good about it? I woke up. I made it to work. I hear this stuff. What about the day you don't wake up? And you don't make it to work, and everybody calling and they say, well, so-and-so didn't show up, and he's usually here at the coffee pot at 7:30, call his house, and you know, and you can smell the odor coming from under the door. This wasn't a good morning.
Amen.
Was it a good morning? That's what I meant, Ray, but you didn't stick around here at all. Listen. Ephesians 6:10. Paul's talking to the Ephesians because he's just getting them ready. He said, finally, my brethren, the people of God, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You have to be strong in the Lord because you got some stuff to deal with coming your way. Paul knew it. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Yes, that's your own might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. You know one of his greatest tricks is that you say when you're not. That you're supposed to live your best life now. That everything's supposed to be fine. And if you're a Christian, everything's supposed to be hunky-dory. I don't even know what that means. I just hear it. Dave will tell me what it means later. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why you wrestle against spiritual wickedness? Because Satan wants to be running things. And he wants to run things in the church. And you know what? So many churches, Satan is running. So many churches, Satan is in full control because folks is coming to church, joining, don't know the Lord, ain't saved, and they in positions. Amen. And they in positions. And what you have, godless leadership, and you know what? You're going to have a godless church. Amen. And you're going to wrestle with these things. You know what? That red wrestle, that's hand-to-hand, one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. You ever watch wrestling? You know what? They send letters out all the time to Liberty. Join the wrestling team. Nobody want to do that. Nobody want to wrestle another dude in some tights. Sweaty and stinky. But that's the kind of fight you in with an opponent that's sweaty and stinky and he will put a chokehold on you. Some of you right now feel like you're in a chokehold. And don't understand. I'm just struggling. Well, you in a wrestling match. Yeah. And you don't understand. Satan got you in a chokehold. Yeah. Trying to choke you out. Yeah. Yeah. And you just sitting around, oh, I don't know what's going on. My neck hurt. My back hurt. You, Satan is choking you. Yeah. Get right with God. Get right today. Amen. That's your only defense. Call on the name of the Lord. I have a good time because I got geese. I got the most nasty geese in my yard. And they be in the backyard just eating up all the grass and everything and walking and doodling as they walk. I should say doodling, I'm preaching, but droppings. And they just walk in and I open up the bedroom window in my bathroom. I see them out there. And I seen this the other day. I thought this was interesting. So I do this. I just clear my voice. I do my big German Shepherd bark. So I start barking at these geese. And you know what? They don't run. They go straight up. And that's what we need to do when the Satan starts barking at us. We need to go straight up. Straight up in the air. I thought that was interesting. I'll show you one day, Cindy. We need to be in the yard. And bark at them. They go straight up in the air. They go, woo! Oh, my goodness. Listen. Put on your armor. Why? Because, and look at this. Look at verse 20. I got it so small. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why, Paul? That you may be able to withstand. Withstand what, Paul? In the evil day. Oh, my goodness. I lost my father this year and a deacon. And my brother's wife passed away. They all knew the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. But when you're losing loved ones, and listen, let me tell you, you can say what you want to say. Okay? We all been there. They don't know the Lord. That's an evil day. That's not an evil day to lose. And listen, if I pass away, tonight y'all say, well, you know, Pastor died in sleep. That's not an evil day. Because y'all pastor's going to be with the Lord. Amen. Okay? I don't know about y'all next one. But I've done all I could. Okay? And I'm ready. Okay? Be strong in the Lord. Nothing else. Nothing less. Give you enough strength to fight these battles. Because they're coming your way. I don't care how good you got it. Look at the rich folks. They jumping out of windows and putting ropes around their necks. Just like the folks incarcerated with a life sentence. It doesn't make any sense, do it. Rich folks is hanging themselves. Another young girl just hung herself last week. Singing a girl group. And they're hanging themselves in prison. So it just covers everybody. You need God. Rich or poor. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. Look, unless I forget. Unless I forget verse 16. I know I'm looking at this thing. It just gets to me. Because I'm going to tell you how to fight this enemy. Based on God's word. But Ephesians 6:16 says this. As Paul was finishing. He said above all. Above all. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. Why, Paul? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like being a faith-filled Christian. You be a faith-filled Christian, you're going through. I don't care who you are. You're going through. Your battle ain't my battle, but we all in a battle. We all in a battle. But faith conquers Satan. Look at 1 Peter 5:9. And you'll see how the faith of God will help you fight these battles. You cannot fight them on your own. You got a crazy husband, crazy wife? Listen, don't go in there on your own. Take the Lord with you. Look at 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Listen, you resist them in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren that are in the world. You fight battle with your loved ones, with your children. You got some wayward children. Listen, don't go in there and tell them what you think. They already know what you think. They didn't watch you all their lives. They need to know what the Lord thinks, and they people will think you a fool, but that's okay. Give them the gospel. Because God's word, God has guaranteed us it will not come back. Boy, you may not see. Some folks that get saved at your funeral. You don't know. I got saved at a man's funeral. I never met him. Never met him. Now lost as a bed bug. Went to this man's funeral. I said, let me go. Me and the brother worked together on the press of General Motors. I said, oh, boy, I got to go to the funeral. I'm doing my thing. And they lifted that man up. He was a deacon. Head of the deacon board. He was a man of God. Whole church is full of folks just praising the Lord. I ain't see nothing like it. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Good man, love his wife, love his family, and gave it all to me. Love his kids, love his grandkids, love the church, love the Lord. Then the preacher just took his finger, you know, the preachers do. What kind of man are you? And it's like the church just emptied out. I'm like, oh, how you know I was here? I was way in the rafters. Life was never the same. Life was never the same. It's never the same. Never the same. God is good. So you keep on telling your loved ones about Jesus and telling them about this battle that you will fight. Listen, how are we going to fight this battle? I like this part of it. I know I get all excited. I get the goosebumps up here. Y'all don't see it, but I got them. How do we fight this enemy? Deacon Oliver, you need to know this. First thing we have to do, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's where it all starts. Believe that Jesus is, the Son of God. This is 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's your starting point. The fact that you've been born again. You got all the equipment you need to fight this battle. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. That Jesus is the Son of God, that's where you start. Then you have to acknowledge that you have an enemy. Acknowledge you have an enemy. I have an enemy. Your battle's not in flesh and blood. Don't get mad at your kids. Don't get mad at your daughter's boyfriend or all this crazy stuff we deal with. Your battle is with the enemy. It's with the enemy. Look at Peter again, First Peter 5:8. He said, 9 rather. He said, be sober. No, you got an enemy. Be sober. Be clear-headed. Be serious. Be restrained. Understand, you have an enemy and you have to have a plan. You just can't go running in. You get a football team, they want to blitz every play. Guess what happens to them? They're going to get bombed on. Listen, be sober. Be clear-headed. Be serious. Be restrained. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Young girls in here, my favorite member, be sober. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Pay attention. Pay attention. Be sober, be clear-headed, be serious, be restrained, be vigilant, be on guard, be alert and watchful. Don't just be walking around here in a daze. When you're going into Walmart or Walgreens, pay attention. Amen. Pay attention who in the parking lot, who getting out of the car at the same time as you. Amen. Watch your rearview mirror. See if somebody is in your rearview mirror all the way home. You got cell phones and tracking devices now. Yeah. Pay attention. Yeah. Oh, so many Christians just walking around in daze. Get their head knocked off. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Why, Paul? Why, Pastor? Why do I need to be serious, man? Why can't I just have fun? You know? Uh-huh. Every day is play. Listen, let me tell you something. You don't go to school to have fun. Okay, you don't go to school to have fun. I've been going to the gym all my life almost. I've been going to the gym over 30 years. I've never told a training partner, but that was a fun workout. never once. And a lot of times I'm hollering and screaming like I holler at you. I holler at my training partners. Listen, we do this for fun. And I do this and I get crazy, you know. I'm just like that. We're not doing this for fun. Listen, you got an enemy, and he walk about. How does he walk about? One of Satan's names is he's a roaring lion, walking about, seeking. Circle that word, seeking. He's looking for someone to devour, and he's not going to the front of the pack. Okay, he's looking for the one in the church. Well, when they're singing the hymns. Well, this one don't open a hymn book. Just stands there. Don't open his mouth. Don't want to be part of the worship service at all. Just stands there. You know, I'm so sick of this stuff. You know. Okay, that's the one. That's the one Satan will get. Because that's a picture of the deer that got the bad leg. Satan ain't running to the pack. He ain't trying to go up there to get. I'm gonna get the fastest one today. No. Satan ain't never thinking about. Getting the fastest one. He's looking for a meal. He's looking for the weakest one. Now, if the weakest one has to be the biggest one, that's a double bonus. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all young folks and old folks, you know, y'all be serious. Pay attention. I ain't got to tell Doris that. She got good vision. She watching them. She watching herself. She watching the folks. She know everybody in that apartment complex. Please come to her. Who did it? How much reward is involved? She know I know too. Listen, here's another one. Be a Christian respected by the unbelievers. Are you respected by unbelievers? That's a good one. You know, how's the unbelieving world look at you when you start talking about your faith? Oh, I'm a man of God. I'm a Christian. I'm an usher. I'm singing in choir. Really? I'm hearing you sing now. How's your song among the lost? Look at 1 Timothy 3:7. He said, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Why? Lest he fall into reproach and into the snare of the devil. Listen, When unsaved folks know you ain't real, they will draw you in and use you to mock the church. They will use you to mock the church. I done heard it. Many of y'all done heard it. And look at her. And she's supposed to be a Christian. Y'all done heard it. Been there and done it. And said it too. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Listen, I'm almost done. Listen, one more. I like this one. Here's a big problem. Unhindered faith. Unhindered. What hinders your walk with the Lord? What hinders your personal prayer life? Your Bible study, your fellowship? Listen, what's hindering you? Satan. Satan. Use folks. Use stuff. Use all your resources to work against you. What's his job? Kill, steal, and destroy. Keep you, if he can't keep you from heaven, he can't. If you God's people, if you truly say he can't keep you from heaven, but he can make your life miserable down here. Oh, he can make it miserable. He can make you feel like, oh, one of the questions that pastors are asked the most. I really just don't believe I'm saved. Really? It's a good question. You need to investigate why you feel that way. Why do you feel that way? Paul said it. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He says this. Wherefore we would have come unto you. Here's Paul. We would have come unto you. Even Paul once and again. But Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. How did he do it? Unexpected guests. Illness. Poor scheduling. Poor time management. All kind of stuff. Payday. Bingo night. Cheerleader practice. Football practice. Working hot dog stands. Worldliness. Worldliness. Deceitfulness. Choke out the words. Remember the story of the parables? You know, and one on stony ground, that one going to do nothing. One went on stony ground and just a little bit of ground and the root go down, just a little bit pop up. You know, as soon as he come, that one withered away. It's like a little weed, pulled him right up. We got a lot of weed Christians. They smoke weed too. You know, we got a lot of weed smoking Christians. But I'm talking about a weed Christian. When I say a weed, it ain't just a stony ground. It's got enough dirt just to... It just pop right up. And you know, Mardi Gras pull them weeds right up. They pull right up. But they ain't got nothing to hold them. But then you get the ones on thorny ground. These are the interesting ones. They on thorny grounds. I'm looking at Matthew 13 and 19 if you want to write it down. But the thorny ground ones, they kind of get it. Because the Word of God says, after they heard the Word. Okay? They heard and they understand what it means to be a Christian. But they heard the word. Okay? Verse 22 of Matthew 13. He that also received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. That word hear me, he understands it. He understands what it's asking of me. He understands the demands of the Christian life. And understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some. Wait a minute. I missed it. Wait a minute. I jumped. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. Our cares. We got a lot of stuff. Listen, so I know I got a lot of stuff too. Okay? I'm not sitting here condemning anybody because I deal with this stuff too. And if I don't make a concerted effort, if I'm not a determined, you know, Satan would have me not study. Y'all would have nothing. Okay? As y'all can see, you know, Satan let me go this week. I got a lot. You know, but it's important that we understand the deceitfulness of riches. Everybody in here rich. I don't care who you are. You're rich. You got more stuff than the 80% of all the world. Satan wants to destroy you. Let me close. I thought this was interesting. No, I'm not supposed to say stuff about this, but I'm going to move into it. I'm going to prefix it with Luke 22. How many of you know the deceitfulness of riches cost Judas? We think about Judas. how cruel Satan was in dealing with Judas. You know, Satan dealt with us the same way. Judas was in that Big 12. Did Satan care about that?
No.
Judas performed all the miracles just like the other ones. He did everything that all the other disciples did. He did everything. He was one of them. He was so much a part of them that when Jesus said, "There's one of you, the devil," they all asked, "Is it I?" All of them knew that they were capable of being overtook by the devil. Some of us, you know, we get so high and mighty. Let me tell you something. Satan don't care about your church clothes and your church hat and your church car that you wipe off on Sundays. And church. Satan don't care about all that. He will come after you. And he don't care about it being Sunday, Monday. Listen. Luke 23:22-1. Listen, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near. Now watch this. Called the Passover. The Passover was one of the great three festivals of the Jewish calendar. And the chief priests and the scribes. Now again, this is the night before the Passover. Or a week before the Passover. I go with a week. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him. For they feared the people. Now, and you would think it's the Passover season that the priests and the scribes would be so involved with making this a successful Passover. People from all over the world came. Well, look what they were doing. They were seeking to kill Jesus. Now, here he's talking about Judas. And I thought this was interesting because I just thought it was interesting. I'm going to leave it at that. Then enter Satan into Judas. Let me stop right there. No defense. Nothing to stop him. I mean, can Satan just walk into your world like that? Seriously. Now, when I came here, we didn't have a security alarm on this church. That just threw me off. It just threw me off. I said, y'all all out here in the boondocks. I'll tell you what that means later, Jake. We all the way out here in the boondocks. I'm like, Margaret, don't y'all got a security system out here? But you know what? Many of us walk around. We don't have a security system on. This is why I talk to young people so much. You know, you got a security system on. Folks just walk right into your world. Satan entered Satan. Satan entered Judas, being numbered among the 12. Now listen. I'm just going to read this scripture in Ephesians. Then I'm going to go back to what happened to Judas. Some of y'all know. Ephesians 1:12. Because everybody's sitting here, and Ray Rice and his girlfriend, let me tell you something, they was in trouble. They was in trouble long before this happened.
Amen.
Okay? They was in trouble long before that elevator. They was in trouble long before that. And many of us can relate to this because there was a time many of us was in trouble too. Okay? So we're not sitting here condemning them because it wasn't for the Lord. I could have been that guy and you could have been that girl. Why? Because Ephesians 1:12 says this, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know what that says? Trouble. Trouble. And you enter into these relationships. And then Mr. Ray Rice, his girlfriend, he shacked up and he liked to spit on folks. He spit on one of the Cleveland Browns last year. And it was a big thing. He like, you know, nobody like getting spit on. Drinking, vacationing, casino. You know, they got all the half deck of girls walking around the casinos giving you free drinks. You think them are they really free? Romans 3:23 says this. And I know they give you a lot of scriptures. For the wages of sin is death. Now that doesn't mean physical death all the time. Death to your career. Death to your marriage. Death to your relationship with your children, with your church, with your neighbors. Listen, let me tell you something. You can do some stuff that you can't. You can get caught down. You wouldn't have got caught 20 years ago because we got social media, and we got Facebook, and we got Twitter, we got ESPN, CNN, Fox, and The View, and there's plenty more. And you know what? They love church folks. Now, what does that? What happened to Satan? When he got his money for turning in the Lord. Matthew 24:7-5 says, as he cast the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. I think about that. So I think about you guys all the time. Then I think about myself because I'm preaching to myself too. I got to pay attention too. I got to be sober and vigilant too. As I close, I think about this. When I say John Stockton, and I like using sports, maybe Doris know what I'm talking about, and Shirley not here. You know I'm talking about, Paula? John Stockton? Heard the name before? I know Dave know. Kenny would know. He's an NBA all-time assist leader. 15,806 assists. How about that? Utah Jazz. But you know what? There's another guy that is an assist leader too. His name is Satan. And every person that has died without Christ and has gone on to the LLS or will be got an assist from the all-time assist leader. Amen. Lucifer. Father of lies. Some of the names of Satan. Father of lies. Accuser of the brother. Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. Anybody like flies on their food? Every time you think about a fly, you ought to think about the devil. And the way you treat that fly, you ought to treat the devil. Get up. Get up out of here. Do we do that? Spurgeon said this. I know. I'm closing. Spurgeon said this. I'm going to close. I got all this stuff. I told you I had too much time with my hands this week. Somebody said, amen. Thank you, Elmer. You're going to be a good deacon. Listen. Think about this. Spurgeon said this, not me. If I had a brother who had been murdered, what would you think of me if he became my daily companion, or I became the daily companion of the man who drove the dagger into my brother's heart? Surely I must be an accomplice in the crime. What is Spurgeon saying? What he's saying is Satan, the father of sins, the father of lies, put a dagger in the Lord. He died for us. What does that make us when we are partners with Satan and sin? Accomplice. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, thank you for giving the people of God the patience to listen to the Word of God this morning. I ask that you bless them, Father God, and prayerfully, Father God, they have been equipped to deal with some stuff. And they are understanding this morning, Father God, but it's not by chance that they're struggling or going through. It's appointed unto us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. We're in a suffering world, and we're going to suffer our way to heaven. Father, thank you for everything you've done this morning. We ask that you be with us, Father God, as we leave here. Touch our young people, Father God. Bless them, Father God. Let them know this is serious business. Let them know Christianity, being saved, coming to church, all that is just serious business, Father God. And I thank you for their attentiveness today. I ask that you be with them on tomorrow when they go to these public schools, and that you would protect these schools. from the enemy who wants to not only destroy our schools but destroy our young people with them. Keep them alert and sober and vigilant. Watchful over themselves and the things that they say and do and the people that they would hang out with. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Doors of the church are open, and I look around. Looks like everybody here is part of the church family. Amen. Amen. God said that's a good thing. God's people come out. Oh, I have Juanita back there. I see you. Amen. Doors of church are open, Juanita. I keep it personal since you're the only one, only visitor. Amen. But we love Juanita. She's regular here. Thank God for her. Amen. Amen. Doors of the church are open. God bless.